Welcome back to the Sports Radio 610 Outdoor Show. All right, third hour already. 6:02 here in the Bayou City. Let's run down to Corpus Christi. Let's check in with Captain Cliff Webb this morning. Cliff, good morning. What's up, man?
I was talking to your producer about running up down the stairs. You sound a little winded. That was good, man. A little fire alarm.
I played that game before. Man.
Oh, it's funny. He said, I better be tired than burned. I said, you got it, buddy. At least he made it out of there. That's good.
False
man,
alarm.
I had a little fire alarm. Yeah, false alarm. That's like a lot of alarm. That's all right, man.
Well, that's the last place you want to be is on the 19th floor when a fire breaks out.
Yes, sir. Damn, that's something.
You just hope it's above you, not below you. You have to go through it.
Man, yeah, I know it. Golly.
Remember that movie, crazy. Tower in Inferno? That's all I always think about that. Yes.
Yeah. Golly. What a week. I'm just trying to catch up with myself, and the fishing's just been unbelievable this week and the hunting. So last I talked to you, I was up at Big Wells, you know, and had a lot of culls to shoot, and I shot some spikes and does up there, and, you know, just had a great time up there with Barry and his family. He's got a great family, and all their kids are great shooters. Those kids shot some good culls and stuff. And I shot a spike that was right at 200 pounds. I've never seen a spike like this before. It looked like a mule with the horns.
Goodness.
It was stupid looking, man. I've seen a picture of it, but that's one of the biggest spikes I've ever seen in my life.
That's a big
one. These bucks were coming out, you know, and you really didn't want to shoot something I wasn't supposed to shoot. So I just wanted to shoot the spikes and does because, you know, some of those deer, you just can't tell. I'm just worried about shooting the wrong deer, so I let the kids shoot it's just good, and the kids and Barry, they can really pick out the really good ones to shoot, so they shot some spikes, bucks that needed to go. But man, that was such a fun trip up there. And so we got all these deer, and we're cleaning them, you know, putting them in coolers and stuff, and we're supposed to kill 25, but we didn't quite make our quota there. It's just behind the moon, the full moon and all that stuff, you know, it was just hard hunting,
right?
But cold as heck, you know. Then so we got this big truck full of scraps, you know, gut piles. Going to take this big truckload full of deer parts to the dump, you know. And they got this big old hole dug, and you back up and dump. And Garrett, Barry's son, and I are throwing these deer legs in there. And we threw one in there, and we hit a beehive, one of those. I don't know what kind of bees they were. I don't know if they were killer bees, but regular bees. And it looked like something out of a cartoon, dude. They got on us. And then so Garrett takes off running, and it looks like a cartoon. This big swarm of bees behind him, you know, and he's running, patting his head. He got about 10 of them on his head, you know. And all of a sudden, they find me, you know, and they're all over me, and I got my cover off. So I duck in the truck. Well, the windows are rolled down the truck, and nobody's got the key. So I'm in the truck, fighting my way through those bees, you know. And I'm getting stung and stuff, you know. And finally, we get out of the bee crisis, and go back to camp, lick our wounds, but we decided to dump the rest of the the rest of deer corpses is somewhere else. We weren't going back to the killer bee pit. You know, it was all funny. And thank God we had a lot of clothes on. It was cold that morning, like 29, so we still had coveralls on and stuff like that, and they really ate us up. But they still got the back of the neck, and it's funny, they go for the eyes. They got up under my sunglasses, you know. But anyway, that'll wake you up.
Boy, it will. I had an encounter like that in, out in the middle of the bay, in the middle of nowhere. It happened to me and my nephew. It was bad, dude.
Yeah. Well, yeah. I've seen it. We were going with Chicano one time in Port of Yorkton. We just left the harbor, and we got a late start about 10 o'clock, and we see this big swarm coming to us, and they just covered the boat up. Just covered the boat up, you know. And so Chicano turned it into the waves and started splashing waves over the top of the boat to wash them down. We're all getting stung and stuff. But, you know, they finally left it, you know. But that was just crazy how you never know when they're going to be here, be around. But it's crazy, man. But our fishing this week was, God, we caught so many big trout this week. I hadn't seen you no pictures yet, so I talked to you. But I had all your buddies down here, you know, Kelly Rising and Mike and Jimmy and all those guys you guys fish with. And
yeah.
You know, they're just, you know, I keep forgetting that Kelly holds the Sabine record 11.5 pounds.
Right. He does.
That's amazing. Yeah, that guy's some kind of fisherman. I've been fishing now for 2 or 3 years, and last year Jimmy got his personal best, an 8 pounder with me, you know, up on the shoreline, and so I had Mike got his personal best with me this year. You know, we it's crazy. So we fished Tuesday and Wednesday, and it's just raw, Mickey. It's mist and rain and blowing 25 miles an hour and 40 degrees. You cannot get enough clothes on to get warm, you know. And these guys are hardcore. They're going. I mean, there's not many people in the water, maybe one boat, you know. And we pull in there, and it starts out, we're catching like maybe 2 to 4 pounders, not really anything really big. And we know this bigger fish are in there. And then Mike stuck a 6.5, you know, really nice fish. And then we catch fish all day, and it's just miserable weather. We finally pull out of there. We catch maybe 2 or 3 dozen nice fish that day. And I'm thinking, man, tomorrow the wind's really going to be up. It's supposed to be up over 30 and supposed to be raining. So I'm thinking, man, these guys might not want to go. There's not a doubt they're going. We're going no matter what. So we just put on another layer of clothes. Now I think we got like 4 layers of clothes on and gloves and all that. And we go back in there, and it's blowing like you can't believe how rough it is. Oh, my God. And the water's still staying in there pretty clear, you know. And we start getting in there with soft dines and stuff. And anyway, make a long story short, Mike catches a 6.75 and a 7-pounder. So Mike was on a roll. He caught 3 fish over 6 pounds in those 2 days, you know. And, you know, Jimmy and Kelly both, they all caught real nice fish, but Mike was just on a roll.
Right.
You know, he just caught the big fish, and it was really great. Just we probably caught 30 or 40 fish that day, just nice fish, just solid fish. And it was so crazy because we didn't think we'd catch anything, but the barometric pressure hadn't gotten real high yet. It was just strange. It was still around, you know, 30.19 or something. Wasn't really super, super high, and we still had a bite. A lot of the bites were real sluggish, you know. Had a lot of fish follow the soft line. I had one just follow me right to me, and he's just right behind that soft line. And I'm letting it fall and twitching, and he just won't eat it. And just turns around, swims off. You know, so it was just a real unique bite. But and then of course, you know, we don't fish. Thank God I didn't fish Thursday, because all my buddies that fished Thursday said there was no bite Thursday. I don't know what the deal is. They bit really good Tuesday and Wednesday.
See, and they went off up here Thursday. Everybody up here caught them Thursday. Isn't that weird how that works?
Weird. It's weird, man. But I had 2 or 3 guys back in Alazan. I had guys, you know, in Bath, and I had guys all over the place fishing, good fishermen that come down and fish, tournament fishermen.
Right.
And they had 2 or 3 bites all day. You know, then Barry went out that afternoon and fished King Ranch shoreline and caught 1 or 2 fish, saw a big fish, but couldn't get in a bite. And what bait was in there was real lethargic. It was just kind of stuck up on the bank, just, you know, messing around. Wasn't really doing nothing. You know? But
mellow mullet is what I call them.
Yeah, mellow mullet kind of thing.
Mellow
you know?
Mullet. They're mellowed out. No predators around.
No, man. And then so yesterday comes, and I got a really unique bunch of guys. Jeremy and these guys come, and I fish with Ronnie Banky's son. They brought Ronnie Banky's son, his youngest son, with me, old Banky's boy. Roy, and so I hadn't seen him in years, and got to go down memory lane. And man, as we're going out that morning, real early, I'm going out way down south, and I look over to this one little sunken island, and there was pelicans and cormorants all over it eating. And I go, man, you know, I need to pull in here. And I went on by it because I know where these big fish are going to be in Bathin. So I pull into Bathin, and the first fish he catches is a toad. It's probably right at 29 inches, you know, just under 8 pounds, just a toad, you know, big fish. And we had one little corner these mullet were flipping in, and we stuck some fours and fives and maybe 1/6 in there in that big one. And then all these boats come in there and just run right through the middle of them. I couldn't believe they're running like 70 miles an hour within 20 feet of us. I mean, just like it was dangerous.
What?
You know, just, they were on both sides of us and just burned us big time. I couldn't believe it. And they were going to the back, you know, and I mean, they were burning, you know, I mean, they didn't even look down at us. They didn't even look at us, and they just burned right through my lineup, you know. So it shut us down, you know, so I couldn't really get them going after that. And so I moved out to a point.
And,
yeah, you know, just burned me out big time, you know.
What a bummer.
And so I know, I get a lot of that.
Man.
Well, you know, you get a lot of that stuff that, you know, they just don't care, you know. And, you know, I understand on some of these days when it's really, really rough, and you got to run down the shoreline to get out of the way or get out of the rock. When it's dead slick calm, you got the whole bay to run. You don't have to burn anybody down the shoreline. You can make a big circle. It won't take you 5 more minutes to go around them. You know, just, you know, I don't understand that. But, of course, they got the stereos blasting when they go by. You can hear them 5 miles when they go by with the stereos. You know? Anyway. And then one of them stops out there, you know, stops out there about 200 yards and makes a drift with the stereo going. God, I think you're really going to get a bite there in that 3 foot of water with your stereo bumping. You know?
Yeah.
Anyway.
No joke.
So anyway, we pull out to the rocks and we don't get nothing. Said, hey man, it's about noon. We got a major coming like at 2 o'clock or something yesterday. We went back to those pelicans and terns and,
I knew you were going to do that. I knew you were going to tell me that. You went back to
it. Oh, my God, Mickey, did we catch some fish? Oh, my God. I'm going to send you the pictures during the break, but it was just stupid how many big fish we caught. We caught an 8-pounder, and we caught several 4-6s in there, and they were thumping them soft nines like you wouldn't believe.
Oh, like boy. You'd
bring your rod tip up, and you'd twitch it and make it work, and you'd thump. They thump it, and you drop your rod tip and just wear them out, you know. But they were so cool. We had one. He caught one about 8 pounds, and I got it on slow-mo video. When he stuck that fish, it came out of the water with his gills flared and walked almost all the way in. It was just incredible looking, you know.
That's cool. He must have hooked him deep. That's good stuff.
No, it's right. It wasn't bad. It was just kind of in the top of the roof of the mouth. We didn't kill a fish in there. We were lucky.
I mean, yeah, he had the lure down in his mouth. Boy, they want to shake that barbed wire out of there, buddy, when they suck it in.
Man, then I video him. You know, and I kind of walked past him a little bit, and it's real shallow. I mean, super shallow. It's like super, super shallow. And so you got to keep a super, super high rod tip to keep your soft line from grassing up, you know. And so I fire out there. I see a little bait flipping. And as soon as that soft line hit the water and I flipped it once, it just like a toilet flush, you know. And I set the hook on this fish. He runs about 50 yards, Mickey, and comes out of the water and throws my soft dine. I just sit there whined for about 30 minutes. I just wish I knew what that one was.
But
it was so cool.
And the soft dine went the
other. Yeah, and it's. You know, it's got that little piano wire in that soft line. It's kind of springy.
Right.
And so they bite it just right. And when they shake their head, it just pops out. You just hope it's inside the right deal. But, you know, I lowered my rod tip, tried to pull his head back, but he was just up in the air and it was game over. But anyway, it was all cool, but just caught some incredible fish. I had four guys and three of them caught their personal best. That's pretty good, you know?
Yeah, that's pretty good. Four,
and, of course, Banky hadn't caught his first personal, but he's the only one that didn't catch his personal best because fishing with his dad when he was a kid with a broken back, he caught 11 pounder.
Giant fish, man. Yeah.
You know, and so I didn't think we were going to get his personal best.
That was a different day and age.
Different day and age, buddy. But everybody else in the boat got their personal best. So
good for them.
That was pretty cool. Pretty cool, man. But, we've been rocking and rolling down here. It's just not a lot of traffic right now. Of course, a big tournament up north and they got boundaries. So I didn't have a lot of tournament fishermen here yesterday, which is really nice. You know, just very, very few burn boats and stuff on the shoreline.
Well, that's good.
They've got some tournaments going on up north.
Let me knock this break out. Hang on. I'll be right back.
All right. I'll send you a couple pictures. All right, Mickey.
Okay. All right.
Angler
U is committed to steadily expanding its library of videos. They cover every topic under the sun when it comes to fishing. And if weekly fishing reports from up and down the coast by the best guides and tournament anglers with decades of experience, and they're steadily expanding its library of videos to cover all topics and their archives so you can see patterns over time. Educational videos with instructional topics covering all aspects of saltwater fishing for speckled trout, redfish, flounder, tarpon, whether you're boat fishing, wade fishing, or kayaking. And go to AnglerU.com to become a member today, and you can receive great discounts from partner retailers like Fishing Tackle Unlimited, Anglers Anonymous, and Waterloo Rods. So this will save you a ton of money. Go to AnglerU.com. That's AnglerU.com, and improve your fishing skills. It's a game changer. Good morning. Welcome back to the Sports Radio 610 Outdoor Show, 620 here in the Bayou City. All right. All right, Cliff, we're back, my friend.
All right, man. All right.
Yeah, those were some beautiful fish. Gorgeous fish.
Aren't you something? I sent you a video, too. That video is just off the chart. I don't know if you get time to
watch
it.
I don't know what setting you changed on your phone, but all of your videos and photos are air clear now from your phone to mine. Because you use iPhone and I use a Droid.
Yeah, I don't know. It wasn't me. I do nothing. It wasn't me.
Hillman sends me stuff all the time, and his iPhone, everything's just fuzzy.
And I'll get some of that too sometimes. It's nuts. Yeah. It's weird.
But, it's air clear. I like it slow-mo. That's a big old trout, man.
That's a toad, right, isn't it? Now.
That's a toad.
That guy caught three fish probably between he had a 7, an 8, and a high 6. So it was. I think this week we had 3 over 7 and 1 over 8. That's really good fishing. I mean, I don't care where you're at. That's good. And lots of 5s and 6s, you know.
Man, y'all were fishing shallow, too. That guy's needy.
Oh, my God. Yeah, those fish pulled up super shallow. Man, and it's so funny because
that good trout green water, man.
Mm-hmm. And it was so cool because this place I'm fishing, it's got an uneven bottom. It's like little humps and stuff, and these fish are right up on those humps in the flat. Like, he'd walk down a little bit
right,
and throw up on that hump, and you could just really keen on the bait what was going on. The bait just gave it away. Those baits were flipping, and then all that bait was 6-8 inches long, just absolutely perfect in there. But
we had one guy, mullet that, jump in the background. Somebody needs to throw a soft down in there.
Somebody
real
needs
quick
to throw something in there, Roddy. Right. But anyway, so one of my guys, Jeff, Scott, excuse me, he's a big time fly fisherman, doesn't do a lot of red to rod and reel, and he just had a great day. At first, he was kind of slow fishing with plastics. Then I got him on a soft line and showed him my little high rod tip twitch in that shallow water, and he probably caught a dozen fish on that soft line, so it was really cool.
Mm-mm-mm.
The funniest thing happened. So I look out there in the deep air, and there's a turtle, and it looks like it's really struggling. It looks like it needs to be put up on the island. It's just barely on top of the water. It's like, you know. And so I do this little sneak up behind this turtle to grab him behind the back and then pull him up on the island. I sneak over in the turtle's graveyard dead. That guy goes,
oh, man.
I've never seen you sneak up on a dead turtle before. He said you were like an Indian sneaking up on a dead animal. I said, that's kind of embarrassing to sneak up on something dead. You know, it was bad, Mickey.
Well, you
gave me
know
a hard
he wasn't
time.
Wasn't
I didn't know
alive.
He was dead. You know, I could see the tip.
You thought he was just stunned,
I thought he was stunned. He was graveyard dead. And he kind of had his nose sticking out, you know, and that turtle had been dead for 2 or 3 days. That's so stupid. And they gave me a hard time. Yeah, because so stealthy he can sneak up on a dead turtle.
Boy, I'm turtles fixing to take it on the chin this week.
Yeah, I hate that, man. But, you know, I hate to say this, but one of my doctor friends, he's pretty cocky, says, you know, those dumb turtles need to die. They're too stupid to stay in the bay. I guess that nature needs to wipe them out and only the smart survive. But anyway, that's just pretty funny he said that, you know. I said, all the smart ones go out in the Gulf. But it is, I just think what it is, too, Mickey, we have a lot of turtles, just tons of them, you know, tons of those juvenile turtles. But we do, like Plog says, we do have the turtle patrol down here, and they're all fired up, you know, and they'll be down here.
Well, you know, if we pull 3 or 4 winters in a row, it'd pretty much wipe them out.
Yeah,
you know,
you get three or four
real cold winters in a row, that'd be the end of them.
Yeah, it is. And it's usually smaller turtles that get hit, you know, the smaller ones that just thank God it, you know, but they get back here, way back in this Laguna Madre, and there's only a couple of exits get out of here, and they just get stunned too quick. And what was so unusual about this year, you know, all of a sudden we're 91 degrees and boom, 25 degree difference in temperature. So a lot right. of them get stunned and just can't make the trip out. You know, once they get stunned, they're moving slow. They just can't make it out. But I'm sure we got lots of volunteers to get them out, get them picked up.
Well, the farther down your way down the coast, the better the temperatures
look. Survival rate. Yeah, yeah.
You know,
they keep changing their mind, Nikki. They don't, you know, I can't really tell. I don't know what's going to go on. I don't think we're going to lose any fish. I had Alan Sipper call me, one of the guys who's been guiding for 30 years now. He called me and worried about the barges traffic and what we can do about that. And I says, man, we've been fighting that barge traffic in the land cut forever.
Yeah, it's y'all are going to have a 28-degree night Tuesday, though. Like, we're going to be 23 here on the coast, but you're going to be 28.
Yeah, I don't know if I believe that. With the media, you never know. So I hope that it's probably...
And they're showing 70% chance snow showers in Corpus.
Yeah.
On Tuesday. Go surfing.
No,
surfing in the snow, man.
I'm done. December 30th was my last day in the surf.
I've done a lot of stupid stuff, but I ain't ever surfed in the snow.
No, I haven't either. No, I haven't done it. You know, way too old for that. You know,
would you call that snowboarding?
You know, all right.
You know?
Hey, I tell you what, when that water temperature gets down so low, when you duck underway, you get ice cream headache, it's time to go in. You know what?
Yeah,
I do that.
That's
when we're young,
cold.
You paddle out, and you got your whole wetsuit on. Everything's good. Your hands are cold. You got your booties on and your head. And this big old wave comes, you got to take it in the head. You know, all of a sudden, you got this ice cream headache. You know, this ain't that
Yeah, blinding fun. Ice cream headache.
Yeah.
Need a skull cap, neoprene skull cap.
Well, the one thing about the wetsuits are so much better now than what we had when we started.
Oh, yeah.
Now this state of the art, you know, wetsuits. But still, I'm just not that mad at them waves like I used to be. Golly, I'd rather be fishing the cold weather.
Yeah. Well, man's got to draw a line on that too.
Yeah, I don't know. My guys cancel on me Monday and Tuesday, and they probably a good call.
I wonder why.
I might get out there on Tuesday. I don't think so, but. I got one spot there might be some monster fish in, but I think I'm going to be cuddled up in the house and drinking hot chocolate or something. It looks like it's going to be brutal. Man.
Yeah, I'm glad my coffee order came in. I'm going to need plenty of that this week.
Oh, man. That's something. But so are they looking like you might have a fish kill there? It doesn't, not that bad.
Nah, I don't know. It's too early to tell. You know, it's going to freeze for several nights in a row, so we shall see.
I got a text from Brian Barrera, and one of the guys had canceled on. They were going to fish with me, I think, on Tuesday, and fish with Brian on Wednesday. And the guy broke his arm, and so he sent Brian and I both a text. And Brian sends me back and says, "Hey man, take that bag and come on down." And I look at those pictures of the snook and stuff that Brian's catching. I go, "Man, I almost did it, but Tuesday, I don't know if Brian's going to be out on Tuesday." Going to be pretty cold down there.
Yeah, that's, I don't know.
It's something, but he's got the ship channel, I guess. But still, that's cold stuff. Just getting out there and doing it, you know.
Yeah.
Just God Almighty,
I'm with
stuff.
You. Not
but,
me.
We were. It was so funny because we were going down memory lane with Banky, you know, about all the trout masters and talking about you and stuff and. His dad and all that stuff. That was something else when Doug and Banky were doing all those trout masters and all that cool stuff. That was really something back then.
I remember when Ron showed up in that old. I don't remember what boat it was. I said there was his Binky edition. He had his name on it. I said, "You really put your name on this boat?" I said, "This is
the Blue Wave." Yeah,
yeah, for Galveston Bay. I said it may work fine down there. I was drier wade fishing than I was fishing out of that boat. Going,
oh,
Lord. He said, yeah, it's a little different running the water up here. I said, yeah, it is. This is a different animal up here, man.
Golly. Well, Banky told me a great story about his dad. He said they were at the fish cleaning table one day, and he was a kid, and Banky's cleaning fish, and this guy comes charging up the table and says, "Hey, man, you cut me off twice today, Banky. You cut me off twice today. Why'd you cut me off twice today?" And Banky goes, "Because I only saw you twice."
Oh, that's a good answer. That was a fast one. That's a good one.
He said, because I only saw you twice. So, yeah, I remember. You know, he was telling me that Banky was the only guy in the world that could go down the intercoastal in pouring down rain at 35 miles an hour, light a cigarette behind the console, never miss a bed, never miss a bite, you know. That was funny. He could
tried
light those cigarettes
true,
going
baby.
Down. Yeah, he could light those cigarettes doing 40 miles an hour or something. It was crazy.
Oh, yeah. You know. But, I had a guy text me. He was listening to the show, and he sent me a message, I think on Facebook Messenger or something. And he looked me up, and he told me what I was the rudest fisherman he'd ever been around, and how I ran my boat into theirs out on the jetties and to beat them to a spot, and they had got there first, but I nosed in there and dinged their boat up and all that stuff. And I said, buddy, you got me confused with somebody else. I don't fish the jetties. And then he texted me back, said, no, I know it was you, man. It was a big, tall guy. And I said, buddy, you got the wrong one here. I mean, I don't fish the jetties. Just don't do it. Mm-hmm. And then he messaged me back and apologized and all that. But yeah.
Golly.
Wrong boat, wrong guide.
Yeah, I know it, man. That's funny stuff right there. Golly. That's what's so nice about me just fishing during the week. You know, I just try to stay away from all the crowds and do my own thing. You know, I know all the other places that other guides are fishing. I've been there, done that. I'm just trying to fish little bitty spots that kind of out of the way.
That's the way I do it. I mean, it's life's too short. I don't want to be around anybody. If I wanted to fish with them, I'd ask them to go with me, you know?
Yeah.
I just try to stay out of that. There's a lot of times that I could catch fish that I don't, because I'm not going to get in the middle of that mess. I'm just going to do my own thing. If you can't find your own, you don't deserve to catch them anyway.
Well, you know, it's just so funny because you can see what a guy is on, like bottom structure and water depth, and you can find that same pattern somewhere else.
Sure you can.
You know, if you think about
effort in, a little work, a little time.
And that's it. So, you know, if they're on a mud bottom or if they're on the humps or the rock, you can find that same pattern somewhere else. There's several places just like it. You don't have to get on that pile of fish, you know. So, and I see people that they just rude. They'll come up on other people, guys, and just regular fishermen just cut right in front of them.
Oh, they just motor in like Mr. Magoo. I mean, here we go,
Mr. Magoo. Yeah, it's just nuts, man.
I like it.
I guess the best
when you're on a reef fishing it, and even this day and age, somebody will pull out a punch bowl and start idling around you, punching on the bottom, like duh.
Yeah. I love that too. I just don't get it, you know.
No, I don't either.
You know, but anyway, so I like the guys that I had this happen to me all the time, that they'll pull out about 100 yards from you and drift like they're drift fishing and just sit there and watch you and see if you're on any fish, then pile in front of you and wade. I mean, you know, so I have to tell my guys, all right, keep your rod tip low when you catch a fish, turn your back to the boat, but still they're going to see you, you know. The worst case scenario, those big trout are eating big mullet, they'll puke up a little slick, and you're burnt, you're done. They know you're on them.
Slicks pop up, it's over.
Yeah. But that big fish I sent you that video on right there.
Right.
Right in the middle of that fight, the scooter boat is just, I don't know who they were. Thank God they weren't looking at us, just run right in front of us. And he's got that big fish on. He just held his rod down like he was doing nothing. That scooter just went right on by, you know. But it was funny how, of all the, you know, I hadn't seen a boat in an hour. And right when he's got that 8-pounder on, that boat runs right in front
always.
Of him. You know? But he held his rod down and kept the fish's head down. It was pretty cool, you know. But that's something that I got a big tip on big fish I'm going to tell you too. So you're loaded up with the big fish. And I see this mistake so much. Like, you got a big fish, he's out there 20 yards. And he's taking drag, and you cock your rod to the side. You got a big bow in your rod. Do not pump that rod. Worst case scenario. So he's bowed up like that.
No marlin pumping.
No, and he's taking drag, and I see this guy's pump it, like resetting the hook. Well, what's happening? If that fish happens to have his mouth open, or happens to the fish that plug be on this side of his face, just think about it. You're ripping it out. Just a constant hold, and just let that drag
pressure.
Go. Don't pump
let
it.
The drag
steady
do the
pressure.
Work.
And that's it. And then
rod tip and drag.
A lot of our big fish, you know, we're either on mud bottom with a lot of grass. You hope that soft nine or corky is in their mouth, so don't rake you off, you know. And you can tell when those fish stop, like he's running and stop like that. that's when you lose them. That's when you just got to pull them off the bottom. I tell people, look, man, when he's down there digging like that, and he's like that, you just got to pull your rod a little bit and try to get him out of the grass once he stops like that. Because what he's doing, he's digging on that bottom. You can just tell when they stop and just sit there and dig on the bottom. If he's not on top like that, rocking the top, he's down there trying to rake you out. And that's the hardest thing. You know, and I think that's one of the reasons Jay doesn't fish a lot of topwater, because he has that problem like I do on those topwater plugs, putting those fish, you know.
Oh, they get all that hardware in their face, and they go straight to the bottom trying to work it out.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
My biggest stringer I ever caught, every fish I caught did that. When I reeled them in, they had mud all in their gills where they were sticking their head down in the mud.
I remember you telling me that, digging their head down there trying to get that stuff.
And I'd have to just lean on them, you know, and pull their head out of there. You know, to keep them from working that lure out. You know, I was using red fins with three treble hooks. You know how they wear it across their harmonica mouth or down the side of their face and all that. And they'll go down and take it out. They'll get the hooks out if you let them. You got to lean on them when they do that.
Yeah. There's one shoreline.
You're going to lose them either way. You might as well lean on him and get him out of there.
You might as well lean on him, and try to get him out of there.
Right.
But it's so funny. We got one wade we weighed on. There's one rock on this wade. And these fish are behind this rock in the mud. And I can't tell you how many times that fish will be 30 feet away from that rock. And as soon as you hit him, it goes to that rock. They know exactly where to cut you off.
Exactly.
You know, they know exactly what to do, you know. They got it down, man. They got it down.
All right, Cliff. Well, hey, that was a good conversation. And I appreciate all the updates from down your way. Y'all keep strumming on them, man. Buddy. We'll get this
weather through here. All right, I wish all the best on this cold weather, man. Y'all be safe out there. And drive careful, guys. Stay off the road, man.
We're going to do that. That's a fact, Jack. All right. Throw them out a number. Somebody wants to come down and fish with you, Cliff.
All right, Mickey. I'm in area code 361-949-0707. Hey, thanks for having me on, Mickey. You guys be safe.
All right, buddy. Thanks for the photo. Right. See you, man.
Okay.
Later.
Thanks, buddy.
All right, bud. That's Cliff Webb down in Corpus Christi. I need to take a moment to tell everyone about the Belleville Meat Market, located right in downtown Belleville. Easy to find. Go downtown, look for the big white sign. Their processing facility and meat market are right next door to one another. And go in their meat market, check out their smoked sausage samples. Those are available daily in the store. You can try it before you buy it. See which blend you like the best. They have a full menu of pecan smoked barbecue. That's served Monday through Sunday, 10 a.m. to 7 p.m. And check out their pecan smoked pulled pork and homemade hot dogs. And bulk pricing is available on fresh ground beef and all their pecan smoked sausage. And wild game processing, can't say enough about their facility. Excellent service, excellent quality. Packaging is second to none. And check out their new sausage blend. You got to try it. It's really good. And while you're at it, get some deer tamales made and venison hot dogs. Your family will love that you did. That's the Belleville Meat Market, where meat is our middle name. Good morning. Welcome back to the Sports Radio 610 Outdoor Show. All right, it's 641 here in the Bayou City. All right, let's go live to the blind with Captain Bink Grimes this morning, see what he's up to. Good morning, Bink. What's up, man?
Good morning. Good morning. We're sweating right now, but I don't think we're going to be sweating pretty soon. I didn't know how to dress this morning, man. I had a daggum. I got a hoodie on and then a light jacket over the top, and that daggum walk back from the buggy kind of lathered me up.
There you go, man.
This marsh. But I think it's we wish this front would hit, so we'd have some. We're set up for it to hit. We're set up with a west northwest wind, so we have zero wind right now. So. And we're on that big moon right now, so it hadn't dropped. It's right in the middle, so we're sitting on a really good pile of ducks, but I'm not real sure if they'll move early or not. They might, with Saturday being a lot of hunters out and stuff, but we're gonna wait on them for a couple hours anyway, because they're here. They're definitely here. So, can't control, you know.
I know.
Control.
I don't know when that wind's going to kick in. So
it keeps saying about 8:30, 9 o'clock here, but I don't know. When we got up, man, it was 10. When we got here, about 4 or 5 o'clock, it was 10 from the west, west northwest. But man, then and now it's nothing. So
well, maybe, gonna, it's, the calm before the blow. Who knows?
That might be, yeah. And I don't think we'll get a whole big – I think we'll get – I mean, 10 to 12 is perfect, you know, for what we're going to – I think tomorrow we're going to have to – might have to wear us a little windbreaker tomorrow. So, I think it's going to blow probably might. 15 to 20.
All the high winds are up by the panhandle right now. And
are they?
Just below it, yeah. From there down, it's anywhere from 11, 10, 9, all the way to the coast. So, you're fine for now.
Well, hey, boys, y'all go ahead and load up. We got about 3 minutes to shooting time right now.
Load them up.
Load them up.
I love that sound.
We'll see if we can get a few while we're on there. Like I said, I don't know how they're going. They haven't flown early yet this week. We've got them, but they haven't flown. So, you know, that just get after it daylight deal, you know. But what I have seen are more green wings, and green wings tend to do that. So we haven't been sitting on a good pile of green wings until the last probably 5 or 6 days. And what I saw yesterday afternoon was pretty encouraging, just big old wide. I hunted the bay yesterday afternoon, yesterday morning. I had the group I had wanted some diver ducks, and I was
that's
happy
what Charlie told me. How'd y'all do on redheads and stuff?
Slow. No, we did not. We shot a handful, and we went down there with that circus down there on the south shoreline of West Bay. And you know when there's outfitters down there that spend a whole lot of money on high ground leases, and when they've got four groups down there on the bay, they don't have any birds on the high ground.
Right.
I hunted it yesterday because we had zero wind, and I didn't want to blow these. Well, they wanted divers, but I also didn't want to blow this marsh out without any wind yesterday. But knowing that, you know, we've got a bunch of hunters in Saturday and Sunday, knowing that we're going to have the right conditions to maybe whoop on them today and tomorrow.
This, this cold front coming ought to bring some kind of northern birds down here, huh?
Yeah. Oh, yeah. I think, you know, it's still overall, it's below average, but we're sitting on right now probably the most birds we've had all year. So,
well, that's good.
We're feeling pretty good. Yeah. And we've done, like I said, we've been consistent over here. So it hasn't been the greatest of years, but a whole lot of people like to have what we've had, you know.
I know a lot of people hunting this year have been on the struggle bus, buddy.
Yeah. I mean, you know, my slow hunts have been, you know, half limits. That's kind of been my slow hunts, you know, and you get tired, you kind of, dang, you know, what happened? But then there's a lot of guys that haven't fired a shot a few times, you know, haven't, you know, ones and twos them, and bunch of teal. Good Lord have mercy.
Boy, maybe you get early flat in there.
Maybe so. But, I mean, you know, we're talking to just no pintails on the bay. No, you know, yesterday with all that was going on down there, there were people on every part of that shoreline, and we thought, you know what, if you can nestle in and find your spot, at least there's we're going to keep them moving, you know, and it was a pretty day, so we figured the wade fishermen will be rolling down the shorelines, and man, I'm telling you, nothing hardly moved. We shot 4 or 5 at daylight, and just sat there, and we came back, got back at 11, and I put the decoys up. We went fishing for about an hour and a half, and after that gray liner had come in, we didn't do nothing. You know, I was talking.
That's what Charlie said. South on him when that high gray liner hit.
It was a beautiful, beautiful morning yesterday morning with all that.
Did you see that sunrise?
I took pictures.
Red sky and morning, sailor take warning.
Awesome.
How true is that? Got a big winter storm coming behind that.
It was a beautiful, beautiful sunrise over there.
But then that
gray liner moved in about 9:30, 10 o'clock, and I told him, I said, boy, this is going to be tough. Now, I was optimistic about our fishing, and then until the gray liner, I said, man, so I called Charlie and I called Tommy. I said, y'all probably called him this morning. Yep. I said, you ain't caught nothing since. He said, nope.
It's that sound.
Yeah, it's amazing. So,
man.
But conditions are good. Water temperature yesterday when I left the bay was about 51 degrees. So,
51?
Let's hope.
That's
51 is what
cold.
I was showing.
Yeah.
Yeah, it's still cold. Oh, yeah.
We warmed up.
I think Charlie said it got up.
Good.
Yeah, I think Charlie said it got up to about in a couple of spots where he was, about 57, 58. But where I was, it was 51, 52.
Right.
And the day before, it was 50. So, we'll
that water's going to cool down after this next week. It's going to
chill. I hope it stays in the 40s. I hope it don't get, get below that 43, 40
degree mark. We're going to be
in trouble.
Going to be panicking again.
Yep. I'm optimistic. We'll see.
I'm trying to be.
Maybe with all that snow that they say we're going to get, it's going to have to bring in clouds, and that's insulation, man, and that'll keep it from getting down as low as, a clear sky will. So maybe that's.
Well, what bothers me is the high winds with that real cold, severe temperature,
yeah.
Man. That's what cools that water down, is that wind blowing that
it
temperature
does.
In there like that, man.
Yeah. The good news is
you lose all your water. You lose, mm-hmm. 3-4 feet of water. Man, that's not good.
Well, the good news is the outgoing tide is during the day, and all the reefs are showing right now anyway, and I'm dropping down 3 foot in my boat stall to get in it, so mm-hmm. it's low already. That's a
right.
good thing. So they're sitting right there on that edge of the channels anyway, because, East Bay was showing about 4, it's usually on a good tide, it shows about 6.5 on my mm-hmm. depth recorder yesterday. It was showing about 4.4, 4.5 on it. So,
right.
On all that stuff that we drift out there. So hopefully we've given them time. It's not like we're sitting on a big tide and then it just bails out and
right.
they got to run for the hills, Hopefully. Hopefully. You know how that goes. I'm optimistic. That's just the way I roll. So we'll see. We've dealt with the ultimate.
The glass half full instead of half empty.
Yeah. Yeah. There's no alternative when it's half empty, So, but yeah,
there's nowhere to go but down.
No, there's not.
Yeah.
No way to go. Yes, sir. But yeah, it's dead calm, man. Shoot. It is dead calm.
Well.
But
it's
one thing that's
time now, huh?
It is, yeah. Yeah.
Okay.
I haven't. It is. There's one off in the distance in the bay that shot. Y'all get ready, boys, because when these teal roll through here, we're gonna get on them. One thing, you go from 40 degree weather in the morning to 60, and magically the mosquitoes pop out. So we're dealing with that on January the 18th or 19th, whatever day it is.
I got my truck coming here to the studio this morning. I couldn't believe it. 64 degrees going.
64
man,
degrees. Yep.
Yeah. 65 down in Galveston. I said, man, it warmed up during the night.
You got 6 inches of rain with all that out front. Just a few passing through. We got 6 inches of rain, from last week to this week. And this marsh is just a mud hole, but just to get back here. But
I bet it is. Man.
No, man, it is. But put a little freshened up the top of it a little bit. So give them a nice little fresh drink.
Oh, yeah.
Get us through. We'll finish her up next Sunday. Got what?
Yeah, next Sunday's the end of it, isn't it?
That's it. Mm-hmm. A lot of folks will be glad of that. I mean, always, whether it's good or bad, I kind of am ready every year.
I used to look forward to
you're
it.
You're just tired.
You just get tired
clean
of the
up
mud,
all the mud at your house.
And the blood,
my wife
and mud,
told me
the
same
and guts,
thing.
And dirty dogs.
I don't even know why I clean this house during duck season. I just cleaned it. I don't even know why I do it, she told me. Yeah, that's the dude you married, baby.
Hands all cracking open, handling wet birds and muddy birds.
I don't take many baths, but I'll take a bath at the end of the season. And
will
like
you?
When I do something. There'll be a ring around that whole bathtub. And, you didn't even know you were dirty. You didn't even know you were just soaking there.
I didn't know I was that dirty.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, you can look at a guy's fingers and tell him how much he works in January.
That's exactly
if they're,
right.
they're not dark black. He ain't worked a whole lot.
No.
So, wish I had something for y'all right now, but nothing's moved yet.
Well, we still got a little time here. Got about 2 or 3 minutes. One volley will do it.
Yeah, one volley might get y'all going.
Have you got a clear sky this morning?
No, I've got a little clouds. Which is all right now because I kind of set up sideways because of you just don't, you know, when you get a west, if you set up right with a west at your back, you're staring into a sun no matter what, if it's a west wind or northwest wind, you know, and that's kind of not what you want to do. So I kind of set up sideways.
Yeah.
And we'll shoot them. If that wind ends up kicking from the west, northwest, we'll shoot them sideways coming from the left to right.
Right.
Downwind of what we're trying to do.
Little swing shooting.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. I mean, it makes a – and two, they're not, you know, the blind you're in is not a big wad. It's just a little – looks like a little pencil sideways, you know, if they're coming from that side. It doesn't look like a big stand, you know. And you try to do all kinds of different stuff to mediate the variables in a January duck hunt. Because, of course, I don't think these are all – I think most of these are new birds that we're hunting. So I guess they haven't been hunted a whole lot, but they might have been hunted in Kansas and Oklahoma and everything. But it's just, you know, end of the year. And we try to keep the calling at a minimum and just whistle at them and just say – hey, how you doing?
They've not talked to them a whole lot. In a book from Canada to the coast.
I had a guy ask me, "And what's the best duck call?" I said, "No duck call." He asked me that yesterday. No duck call for you. Swallowed. Just give him just a. You know those guys in Arkansas really take pride. And if you ever walked into Max Prairie Winds in Stuttgart, it's a hell call from the time you're in there to everybody testing all those calls out and stuff, you know. Here on the coast, man, your best call is to hunt location and give them a quack or two and a whistle or two and let them come. Lay let them be, maybe. You know. Mm-hmm. Yes, sir. It's a little shooting on the bay right now. I can hear a little bit. In the upper marsh. But we ain't had it yet here.
Oh, well.
I don't think that moon gets on the horizon until about 9:15 today. So we might be here a little while for it. It really made a difference. 2 days ago, it really made a difference. The moon fell at 8:15. And, man, you want to talk about rolling the tarp out in there. Holy moly. Oh, man.
Well, maybe next weekend on the closeout, we'll get a good hunt in.
Yeah.
All right, buddy. Yeah. Well, I got to run. I'm out of time, man. Okay. If somebody wants to call you, Bink, about hunting or fishing, how do they get a hold of you, bud?
MatagorSunriseLodge.com, 979-241-1705. Everybody have a good Saturday. Go Texans. I got a good feeling, man. I got a good feeling about today.
We've lost four in a row. It's time to win one.
That's right.
Against the Chiefs. Yeah.
Against the Chiefs, yeah.
Yeah. All right. Well, take care, man. Thanks, Bink.
All right.
See you. All right. Unfortunately, that's all the time we have for today's show, but we'll be back in the morning bright and early 4 a.m. right here at Sports Radio 610 KILT Houston.